We're turning in the Word of God this evening to the book of Leviticus, chapter 13, is where we want to read some verses. First of all, at the commencement of this chapter, and then a couple of verses further down the chapter as well. So Leviticus chapter 13, and we're going to read the first 11 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh arising a scab or bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him, and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days, and the priest shall look on him the 7th day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on him again the 7th day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. And then two verses further down, verses 45 and 46 of the same chapter. And verse 45 says, And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, Unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean. He shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word this evening to all of our hearts. I want this evening to consider from this portion of scripture that we have been reading some of the Bible laws of hygiene that are being used to combat this virus at the present time as it is spreading among the nations of the earth. And we are reminded that the Bible is ever up to date. Never at any time do we have to set the Word of God aside and think that it's not relevant for the times in which we live. And the purpose for doing this, well, we certainly want to draw some practical lessons for ourselves and apply them to our own lives and circumstances. But primarily, I want us to remind ourselves this evening of how good it is to have the Word of God to lean on. When so many things are in a state of flux and change and circumstances are not as they have been, in fact, never like they've been before, we can always come back to the Word of God. That's the Christian's foundation every time, is to go back to the Word of God. What does God say in His Word? And certainly that is the case when we come to think about these things. So I want to do this. We live in a day when the majority scoff at the Word of God. They dismiss the idea that somehow the Bible would have anything to say and any principles to follow in circumstances like these. We always have the skeptic who will mock and ridicule the idea of living according to the Word of God. But is it not interesting that in these times that the world is employing laws of hygiene, basic laws of hygiene that are found in the Word of God, laws that Israel had as they journeyed through the wilderness and then into the land of Canaan, laws that they practiced. And as a result, it would keep from them those diseases of Egypt. There is that promise in Exodus 15 where the Lord said he would not put the diseases of Egypt upon them. And this is one of those ways whereby the Lord indeed would keep from them the diseases of Egypt. He would give them laws to follow that when infectious diseases would come in among them, they were to follow these practices. And in following these practices, then they were to be preserved from some of those diseases coming upon them. So obedience to God was indeed going to keep them free from some of these diseases. So we want to think about this particular matter and encourage our own hearts this evening as we are around the Word of God. I want you, the first thing to consider here is that we are taught here the use of means. We are taught here the use of means. You see, God has ordained that we use means to accomplish certain outcomes. And that's very true here with regards to these laws that the Lord gave to Israel. He gave them that they would be the means to an end. They would be the means of keeping them free from infectious diseases. Here's how they would deal with infectious diseases when they did come in among the people. We know that leprosy was prevalent and did come in among the people from time to time. But here are the means that they are to use in order to combat the spread of this disease and other diseases as well. And it underscores this point, you see, that God would have us to use means as well. There's means that are being employed at the present time in order to combat this disease. And as I say, many of them are Bible-based. And that's what we want to consider this evening. But there's the far, far wider issue here of God using means. Because let's think about it in the spiritual realm. Because we're not to sit back and say that because God is sovereign and that he has ordained some unto eternal life and that those people will indeed be saved. They were given to Christ in eternity past and the Savior died for them at the cross. The Holy Spirit will irresistibly draw them unto to Christ. But that doesn't give us warrant to sit back and do nothing. That doesn't mean we can be careless about evangelism. We don't have the attitude, well, these souls will be saved anyway, no matter what we do. No, we believe in the use of means. We believe that there is a means that is given to us to accomplish that end of seeing souls saved. And that means is the preaching of the gospel, evangelism. And the Christian is to engage in the means. The Christian church is to make use of the means. And that means is evangelism, preaching the gospel, witnessing personally to individuals, seeking to present Christ and the claims of the gospel to individuals. And there we are using means. There is an end that we want to accomplish, and in order to get to that end, we're going to use means. We're going to use the means that God has ordained. So when we come to this particular chapter of the Word of God and think about these laws of hygiene that were given to Israel and how even they apply to modern times, there is underscored here this principle that works in every area of life. There are means that God has ordained that we ought to follow. And God instructed Israel to follow the sound laws of hygiene, and they would bring about a particular end. They would either keep infectious disease out from among them to a considerable degree, and then when those diseases would come in among the camp, there would be the means of curtailing the spread of these infectious diseases among the children of Israel, if they employed the means. And that has been a point that has been underscored repeatedly to us all in these times. There are certain things we need to be doing in order to combat the spread of this virus among our nation. There are certain things we ought to be putting in practice. And that in itself ought not to surprise us, because that very principle is Bible-based as well. It's not a matter of just recklessly saying, oh, the Lord will look after us and keep us. Yeah, we believe in a sovereign God. We believe in the keeping power of God. But we also believe in the use of means. And when there's advice given and even restrictions placed upon us, we are to obey the lawful authority as far as it agrees with the Word of God. And this certainly does agree with the Word of God, that there are times when there are certain restrictions that have to come upon us in order to combat the spread of infectious diseases. So the Word of God here instructs us about the use of means. And when these restrictions are over and we go back to some degree of normality in life, as the Lord overrules, we are to ever remember we have to employ the means that God has ordained to bring about any end, whether it's the end in evangelism, whether it's the end in spiritual growth and spiritual development in our own lives. God has ordained the means for that as well. There has to be prayerful Bible study. There has to be that getting around the Word of God, personally and in public as well, meditating upon the Scriptures and pondering the things of God. There has to be that giving of ourselves to prayer. These are the means that God has ordained for us for spiritual growth and grace. And again, those means have to be employed. And that's even the reason why we are continuing on to seek to provide these webcasts, so that there will indeed be the opportunity to gather around the Word of God and to consider these things to our own benefit and spiritual blessing. So there's a point here about the use of means. I want you secondly to consider that the Word of God taught Israel that certain diseases were infectious. The Word of God taught Israel that certain diseases were infectious. Now, we're not claiming that Moses understood everything that there is to know about modern infectious diseases. Well, we're not saying that Moses knew everything in that regard. What we are saying is that God knew everything, because it is God who inspired Moses to write. It is the Lord who gave Moses these laws. It's interesting to notice how many of these chapters in Leviticus begin with the words, "And the Lord spake unto Moses." And even if you flick through some of those chapters near to where we are in Leviticus at this point in time, and just notice how many chapters in the Word of God, many chapters in the book of Leviticus, just begin with that statement, "And the Lord spake unto Moses." It's slightly different here in this particular chapter, because it's added that Aaron is involved here as well, because the high priest has an important part to play in these regulations regarding leprosy. But in general, there's that statement that appears again and again and again, "And the Lord spake unto Moses," "And the Lord spake unto Moses." You see, Moses did not take these laws of hygiene from neighboring nations. This wasn't what he learned in Egypt, when he was schooled in all the wisdom of that land, having been raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he had all the wisdom of Egypt at his fingertips, as it were. He didn't learn these laws down there, neither did he observe them in the land of Midian, when he was 40 years in the land of Midian. That's not where he found these laws. He didn't gather this from all of these different places and even other cultures as well that were around about him and bring them all together. That's not how the law of God was compiled. That's not how these laws of hygiene were brought into being among the children of Israel either. They were brought into being because God gave them to the children of Israel. And in giving these laws to the children of Israel, the Lord was teaching Israel there are diseases that are infectious. There are diseases that are spread by coming into contact one with the other. That's obvious from what we have read here. We have only read a portion out of this chapter, but I would encourage you to read further in this chapter and in the next chapter as well on these issues about leprosy, and you will see this principle brought out again and again. There's a consciousness in these laws that leprosy was infectious, and there were other diseases as well among the children of Israel, not only leprosy, but even the point of touching the dead. There was an awareness that if you touch dead bodies, there is the potential for infection, and that to be passed on to other individuals. And there are laws that were given about the touching of the dead as well. So whether it's leprosy, whether it's touching the dead, whether it's a running issue, that's a phrase that comes up in Leviticus again and again. If somebody had a running issue, had a wound, or some other running issue in their body, there were certain laws that came into place, because there is this awareness given to Israel from the Lord that certain diseases are infectious, and if you come into contact with them, you're likely to then catch that disease yourself. So these are God-given laws that were given to Israel by the Lord for their good and for their benefit. And they certainly were away ahead of their time. Away ahead of their time. It's worth noticing that specialists who acknowledge the word of God and don't seek to decry it. They're happy to say there's not a single provision in these regulations that somehow are wrong, that there's a misconception here about disease and the spread of disease and how to combat disease. There's nothing that anyone can point to and say that would be a wrong practice. If you were to engage in that today, instead of curtailing the spread of an infectious disease, you'd only be helping it. There's nothing like that that can be found in these laws of hygiene that God gave to his ancient people. In modern times, the knowledge of infectious diseases has only really been developed, and people become more aware of it in the last 150 years or so. There's a very interesting Christian man, a French man, by the name of Louis Pasteur, who did a lot of work in this particular field. In fact, he and others developed a whole new branch of medical science known as microbiology. And it's worth reading up on Louis Pasteur. We might recognize the name from pasteurization, because that's connected with his name. But I would encourage you even to look up and read up on Louis Pasteur and what he did, what he found out. And with the knowledge that he was a child of God, and he believed the Bible, he believed in creation, and he developed many of these principles, not on his own, others as well at that particular time, but Louis Pasteur certainly very much to the fore in this, where he developed a knowledge of these things and the transfer of diseases, and the idea that diseases can indeed be infectious. But this was something that the Word of God taught Israel a long, long time ago. A long, long time ago, the Lord was teaching Israel. And those practices that are being put into place at this particular time, we're all very aware that diseases can be infectious and that they can be spread from person to person, and that surfaces can be infectious as well and pass on this disease. So these laws were given to Israel. And they were given to Israel with this point. And here's the application to us all. You see, there's a duty of care upon us all. We are to love our neighbour as ourselves. We are to act for the good of others, not for self-interest. Do you notice here in this particular portion how the individual who was suspected of leprosy was to be brought to Aaron the priest? This wasn't something that was to be hidden and covered up and not addressed. Both in verse 2, there it says that the latter half of verse 2, Leviticus chapter 13, verse 2, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests. And then further on down, you have verse 9, when the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. So there was this requirement that an individual would be brought unto the priest as soon as there was a suspected case. And those opening 8 verses have to do with suspected cases of leprosy. Verse 9 starts when it's obvious that somebody has indeed got leprosy. So there's a division there in those opening verses of the book of chapter 13 of Leviticus, where there is, what do you do with a suspected case of an infectious disease like leprosy? Or what do you do with a case that's very obvious? Well, in both cases, they were to be brought to the priest. There was no hiding of this, covering it up. And the reason why that is so is because of this duty of care that each one has, where they are to love their neighbour as themselves, and we are not to seek after self-interest. Well, isn't that a very important point in Christian experience as well? It's not self-interest that is to drive us. Not at all. Self is to be crucified. Self is to come last. We are to put the Lord first. We are to put others before ourselves. Is not what the Word of God teaches us to do, that we are to think about others before ourselves. In writing to the Christians at Philippi, Paul indeed said that very point, where he said in Philippians chapter 2, He said, "Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That's the mind that is to be in the Christian, not one of self-interest. So when we think about these regulations and laws of hygiene that are found in the Word of God, there's many practical lessons that we can apply to our own lives, even as Christians, seeking to live for the Lord in this world. We're not to seek after ourselves. We're not to put self first. Self-interest is never to drive the Christian. Self-sacrifice ought to be the principle that is found in a Christian's life. Self-sacrifice is what ought to be in us. That was the mind that was in Christ Jesus. And there in Philippians 2, we're told that that's the mind that we are to have. And as we well know, there's many today, and they seem to be driven with a spirit of just self-interest, just thinking about themselves. Whereas the Word of God will teach the Christian, no, you're to think about others. You're to honor God first and foremost. You're to obey God before man. But you're also then to think about others. You're to love your neighbor as yourself. And we are not to think of self first, but think of others. So the Lord taught Israel that certain diseases were infectious. But it also reminds us of the infectious nature of sin, doesn't it, when we think about infectious diseases? What about the most infectious disease of all? What about the disease of sin? What about what the Bible has to say about how infectious sin is? Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, Paul used those words. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Sin has a corrupting effect upon individuals. Come into contact with sin, and soon we'll be practicing those sins. Listen to certain sins, view certain things, certain sins, think upon certain sins. We'll start acting in that fashion as well, because sin has such a contagious effect upon us. It corrupts. Wherever it comes, it corrupts. And sadly, our society is corrupt because of the spread of sin. Sin is licensed and legislated for in this day and age, and it's corrupting society more than ever. And we live in a corrupt society. It's like as the Lord looked down in those days before the flood, and he saw that every imagination of the heart of man was only evil continually. We live in a corrupt society. And even the fact that these laws are in existence teaches that sin is infectious. Leprosy is a great type of sin in the Bible. There's a great type of sin in the Bible. Sin is infectious, and it needs to be curtailed. There are certain things we need to do with regards to sin, to root out sin in our lives and in our hearts. So Israel was taught about the reality of infectious diseases. Right, the third thing I want us to consider here from the Word of God is that the Lord instructed Israel to follow certain protocols to deal with these infectious diseases. And that brings us to think about some of the specific instructions that were given to the children of Israel in this regard. We're going to think about just a couple this evening. We may come back another time and think about more as the Lord leads, but we're going to think about a couple at this present time. We're going to use the modern terms, because there's a number of terms that we have been used to over these last few days and weeks as to what we are to do. So we're going to use the modern term, but then we're going to look at, well, how does that apply in the Word of God? How is that outworked in the camp of Israel in dealing with the diseases that possibly were found among them? Well, let's think first of all about social distancing. We hear that word used repeatedly. You have to keep a distance from each other. And sometimes, well, it started off as a meter, and now it's 2 meters, I think, that we are to stay apart from one another. Well, the Bible has got that idea. That idea is found here in this portion of Scripture that we have been reading this evening, where the Lord told Israel, this is the practice that you're to put in place, that somebody who's got an infectious disease, they are to keep apart. They're to keep apart. Go down to verse 45, these two verses that we read further down the chapter. And look at verse 45. It says, "The leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean." So he was to do this. The individual who was aware that he had the disease of leprosy, if he was ever out and about, this is what he had to do. He had to keep his distance from others. He had to cry out. His clothes were rent. His head was bare. He had a covering upon his lip. And he had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Was the covering upon his lip something like a modern day mask, so that he wouldn't be breathing on people and passing on infection? Well, whatever it was, he certainly had to cry, "Unclean, unclean." He had to make it known. Had to keep his distance. Jewish commentators say that there's 61 defilements that are recorded in the laws of God in the Old Testament. Leprosy was the second most serious of these defilements. Touching a dead body was the most serious defilement. Leprosy, as I say, was second. But among the Jews, the practice was that a leper could not come within 6 feet of another human individual, including his own family. As we know, the leper had to live apart. Lepers lived in a community all of their own, were familiar with the term a leper colony, where lepers would all live together until either they got better or else they died. And that was the only way whereby Israel knew how to contain the spread of the infectious disease of leprosy. Had to keep your distance, had to cry out to others who were approaching, "Unclean, unclean." And is that not something that is being encouraged in these modern times? Is this same practice, the principle of which is found in these laws that the Lord gave to Israel? Is this not the very practice that is so important at this present time to avoid the spreading of this virus among us? We're to keep our distance. The distance is even suggested to us. As I say, it started off at a meter and now I think it's 2 meters. But the distance is even suggested to us. Well, the principle of that is found in these laws of hygiene, in the Word of God, that they were to stay a certain distance apart. And yet we have people who mock the Bible, who want to laugh at God's laws for Israel and poke fun at what God would say to them to do. Well, they're implementing the very laws that are found in the Bible. That's how up-to-date the Bible is. That's how up-to-date the Bible is. God in heaven shall laugh at the folly of human hearts when they reject his word and yet then follow and practice the very principles that are found in that word. But what about another point here that we can think about as something that is being implemented in these days, and that's isolation or quarantine. As we have been reading here in this opening portion of chapter 13, when there was somebody who was suspected of having leprosy, or even when they did have the leprosy, they were to be put into quarantine for a period of time. Now that was something that applied not only with regards to leprosy, but that also applied with regards to touching the dead. As I said, the chief defilement among the Jews, as they looked upon these things, was touching the dead. And over in Numbers chapter 19 and in verse 11, it says, "He that touches the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. Verse 12, "He shall purify himself with it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean." So there's a procedure here that somebody who touched a dead body was to follow. It wasn't just a matter of touching a dead body and then going on about their business, having no regard for what was done. The law of the Lord said, if you touched a dead body, here's what you had to do for 7 days. 7 days you were classed as being unclean. There was something you had to do on the third day. And then on the seventh day you could be pronounced clean and you could come back into circulation, as it were. But for that 7 day period, somebody who had touched the dead had to isolate themselves, had to be put in quarantine. And again, is this not a practice that is being used in these modern times? Is there not people who are self-isolating Do we not hear about people who are being put into quarantine? Maybe someone who's been overseas in a particular area, and governments are saying that when they come back, they'll have to go into a period of quarantine for so many days. This is a principle that's found in the Bible. This is what the Israel were to use with regards to touching the dead. Also here with regards to the leper, if we come back to Leviticus chapter 13 and this portion that we've been reading, there's 2 7-day periods that are mentioned here in these opening verses. Verse 3 gives you the first one. It says, the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. And then verse 4, it goes on to describe some of the possible symptoms. And then at the end of it says, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. Now this is just a suspected case. This is not yet confirmed. But it is suspected the individual is presenting symptoms that are in common with leprosy. So there's the suspected case. There's the possibility that leprosy has come into someone's life, into someone's family, into someone's home among the camp of Israel. And as soon as that happens, they're to be taken to the priest, and the priest is to observe them, and he's to put them in isolation for 7 days. And then you read about the second seventh day period in verse 5. The priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be in his sight, be it a stay, and the plague spread not in his skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. So there was no risks that were going to be taken. Well, this was not something to be taken lightly at all. This was a very serious matter when this was suspected. No playing around here, no saying, well, on your way. We don't know for sure, but sure, keep on just living the way that you normally have been. No, the priest was to put him into isolation for another 7 day period. This matter was to be taken seriously. And is that not a point that has been underscored so much these days? Take these things seriously. Take the need for isolation seriously. Well, the Lord established these laws in Israel thousands and thousands of years ago to preserve his ancient people. But what happened then when somebody was indeed diagnosed as having leprosy? Well, we started reading it there a little from verse 9 down to verse 11, because it gets to the place where there's no more need for an individual to go into a period of isolation. They were to be classed as unclean. Verse 9 is where there's the obvious existence of the plague of leprosy. Verses 1 to 8 is a suspected case. Verse 9 begins to say, when a plague of leprosy is in a man, there's no doubt about it. It's obvious that this indeed has happened to the individual. The plague is there. What does he do? Immediately he's unclean. The end of verse 11. It is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean and shall not shut him up. He is unclean. So there was no need to go into this period of isolation and quarantine in order to establish whether he actually had leprosy or not. This is the case where it is obvious, and the priest is immediately to say he's unclean. And once he says that he's unclean, then there's going to be certain other laws that are going to kick into place. Come down to verse 46 now. And says, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. So once the individual has been declared to be unclean by the priest, here's what happens. He's defiled, he's unclean, and immediately there's certain things that are going to happen. He's going to dwell alone. That's the first thing. He's not going to be able to come into contact with others. He's going to be in complete isolation. No contact with physical contact with family members or anybody in the camp of Israel. He's going to dwell alone. In fact, it tells you there in verse 46, he has to dwell without the camp. That's where his habitation is going to be. He's going to have to live without the camp. He's not even going to live within the camp. He's going to have to live without the camp because of the infectious nature of this disease. So here's this whole concept of isolation, quarantine. It's found in the Bible, found among these laws that the Lord gave to Israel. If you turn over into the next chapter, and we'll notice a couple of verses here very quickly, because there was a procedure. Well, how does a person recover? How does an individual come back in to the camp and back in among the people of God? Well, if you look at chapter 14 and the opening verses, it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses." Here's this phrase again. Here's instructions and commands given by the Lord. Verse 2, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop." And it tells you there that there's to be this sacrifice that is to be offered. But come down to verse 8, it says, "He that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days." So again, there's further regulations here as to how do you bring an individual back in again? How do you reintegrate them into the camp of Israel? There's to be this cleansing in verse 8, this washing. It's interesting just to notice in the Word of God how often the instruction was given to wash clothes, to wash your whole body, to wash implements. The Lord would have them to be clean and to disinfect certain things. So the individual is to wash, he's to shave off all his hair. But then he's allowed to come into the camp, but he has to tarry outside his tent for 7 days. So he's not able to come back into among his family immediately, right into the same tent. He's in the camp, but he has to live in a tent by himself. And he has to do that for a period of 7 days. So there are all of these commands that are given in the scriptures regarding isolation, quarantine, seeking to keep somebody apart from others so that people do not catch an infectious disease. And yet we have people today who try to mock the Bible, laugh at the Word of God. Is it any wonder that Israel were such a privileged people when the Lord had given them laws like this to live by? And if they were to observe them and obey them, then the Lord indeed would keep from them to a great extent these diseases. All of this is repeated in Numbers chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. It's to do with the leper again, but not only the leper, because there's others that are mentioned here. Every leper, every one that hath an issue, whosoever is defiled by the dead. So here are three of the defilements that are mentioned. And it says in Numbers 5, verse 3, "Male and female shall be put out. Without the camp shall ye put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell." And the children of Israel did so and put them out without the camp. As the Lord spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel. So there's three of these defilements that are mentioned. And on each one of those occasions, people had to be isolated and put without the camp. And the children of Israel, it says, obeyed the Lord. So these are some of the laws that are being employed today. But there's one final thing I want to say very quickly, just as we close, and it is this. The Word of God instructed Israel how to deal with sin. The Word of God also instructed Israel how to deal with sin. We said a moment ago that sin is the most infectious disease, and how it corrupts people's hearts, how it corrupts society. Well, didn't the Lord teach Israel how to deal with sin? Didn't he give them the tabernacle? Didn't he give them the way of the sacrifice? Didn't he give them the priesthood? Teach them the need of a mediator to bring them on to God? The Lord prescribed not only what was good for physical health, but also what was good for spiritual health. These laws of hygiene will keep them alive in the physical sense if they observe them. If they follow what the Lord has to say, in the spiritual sense, their soul will live. They'll not perish in hell forever, but rather they'll have eternal life if they obey what the Lord says, if we come by the way of the cross. Because that's what was taught to Israel, the way of the cross. The whole system of the tabernacle, the priesthood, the sacrifices, the need of the mediator was all teaching Israel of the need of the cross. Because there's only one mediator between God and man, that's the man Christ Jesus. And when you think about how appropriate and applicable those laws of hygiene are to Israel, let that underscore this evening, if you're listening to me and you're unsaved, let it underscore in your mind just how accurate the Bible is and how important it is to believe the Bible and to follow the teaching of the Word of God. And when God directs you to come to Himself in faith and repentance, then believe what God has said. Repent and believe that your soul might live. And just as good and beneficial as those laws of hygiene were, how much more important it is to be aware of the way of salvation. Taught to Israel, oh, the blood shedding. How much shedding of blood there was in Old Testament times. Those continual sacrifices, over and over and over again. Sacrifice, blood shed, over and over again. All teaching Israel, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There has to be the blood shedding. That's the only way for our sins to be forgiven. How do we deal with the corruption of sin? How do we deal with the pollution of sin? How do we deal with the power of sin? How do you escape the penalty of sin? It's all through the work of Jesus Christ, what He did at the cross. And that's what the Lord taught Israel as well. And may that lesson not be lost on any of us this evening. So I trust the Lord will bless His word as we have considered it this evening, and encourage our hearts as we have spent a little time thinking upon these things as they're found in the Scriptures.